Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
He struck him out swinging, and the Orioles will head home with a series win in their pocket. 7-3 final. The Orioles' first Sunday win of the year, and they take 2-3 in Anaheim.
He threw the ball well in that one rehab start, and he's not fully stretched out, so going between 50 and 60 pitches that first rehab start, but the stuff all looked the same in that start, so we expected the same today. Just couldn't extend them all the way like we normally could.
Yeah, I think we did a good job of displaying that today. Getting the guy over, getting him in, capitalizing on mistakes, sack fly, sack bunts, suicide squeeze. We played a really good brand of baseball today, and I think that's going to be our identity moving forward.
I love the energy with how we played. I thought there was a lot of fight in us today. Like, these guys don't want to lose. They're not happy with how we're playing, and to go get a series win on the road, it's important. So I thought everybody was really into it.
Well, Brandon Hyde, tip of the cap to you and your team, taking 2 out of 3 from the Angels over the weekend. Friday night, Sagano doing his thing. All right, Saturday, I don't know how much longer the Kyle Gibson experiment can last. We Morton came in, pitched 2 clean innings.
Yep.
Maybe we'll see that flip moving forward a little bit. Povich will pitch tomorrow against the Twins, weather permitting, of course, as the Orioles come back home. But 2-4 on the road trip. Got swept in Minnesota. Frustration, no doubt about it, because you start May. You think you're getting everything all positive rolling. You take a series from the Yankees. You win the opener against Kansas City. Then you lose that when Minnesota just pulls your pants down for the most part. But then you go to Anaheim, and as you just heard there, Kevin Brown on Masson, you won a Sunday game, which they haven't done all year. Beat a lefty, which they've rarely done this year, only the third time. And you heard Zach Eflin winning pitcher yesterday. All right, Ward misplayed the fly ball by Adley in the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you're a bad team, and the Orioles have been a bad team, he'll find a miraculous way to catch the ball. But he didn't. So a run comes in. Then Eflin gives up 2, bottom of the first, and they just kind of hang around, scrape. Base running blunder by Solo. Well, that was on Bo Porter, by the way. Kind of ran that Moncada was gone. And then all of a sudden he puts up like going up Falls Road.
Yeah.
When you think you're about to make Clark View and turn left into work, all of a sudden the dude flips the sign to stop. No. That's what happened. So they ran into outs. Maverick Hanley got his first 2 ribbies, sack fly, hard hit ball, and then the Billy ball, suicide squeeze. They walk O'Neill to get to Mountie, makes him pay with a single to right field. Guncho hits his second homer of the series. I don't know where the pirate hat came from, but we'll take it, along with the homer hose. So they win. Still a ton of work to be done, but we talked about it a little bit on Friday. Now with Eflin back, not stretched out, as we just heard Hyde say, Sagano dealing, and Kramer coming off a couple of pretty impressive outings, you've got 3 guys that can kind of compete. Cade Povich pitching tomorrow, doesn't miss a lot of bats. He gets into the 6th inning, but most of the time he's trailing when he leaves the game. And Nolan, get in here, because Vinny and I were talking a little bit off the air, which we're going to talk about now on the air here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, on a Monday. Hope you had a great Mother's Day, ladies, and thanks for tuning in. The Gibson experiment, he's rehabbing in real time.
Right.
Which has been detrimental to the Orioles. Morton pitched 2 clean to wrap up Saturday's game. And we all know, again, another loss. They have literally lost every game he's pitched in this year. But how much longer do you wait before maybe you go, well, Gibson, because McDermott will be coming back. Trevor Rogers is done with his rehab. He's now going to pitch at Norfolk, try to get himself together. So there are a couple of arms that could be in the equation, because Bradish and all that, that's not happening until after the All-Star break, if it happens then. But would you be against flipping Gibson and Morton after another couple outings? Or are you going to wait to see what Rogers and McDermott do? Maybe pitching themselves back into the conversation.
I think I would give Morton another shot, because his curveball was much better Saturday. which that's the one that's been getting rocked.
The one he keeps blaming.
Yes.
The one that he throws, by. Nobody else is throwing it. He's throwing.
So, you know what? Maybe give him one more in the bullpen. One more try in the bullpen. And if he has another one, then maybe bring him back.
Well, Charlie Morton's got a long way to go before I put any trust in him. I mean, am I?
No. You're right. I mean, he had one solid outing.
Right.
In a game they were losing 5-1, by the way.
Right. I understand Gibson has been really bad.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's been, you know, Charlie Morton light.
Yeah.
Version,
you so. Blink, you're losing. Kind of, sort of.
Sort of a pick your poison here. But again, I've only seen 3 starts from Kyle Gibson, and he was rushed up here for that first one. That I just want to throw that one in the trash and ignore that completely, the Yankees game. But it was reality. It did happen. And for him to not recover as quickly with these previous 2 outings, it's a little concerning. I mean, if he was going deep like Cade Povich is going deep, then you could bite the bullet and say, all right, well, we'll just take the bullpen saving factor of it, and maybe the offense gets hot that day. But it just seems like an automatic loss with either one of them on the mound. Ideally, McDermott's back here, no hiccups along the way, and he's ready to rock. But he's essentially a rookie. So you're really putting all your faith in that arm. I mean, that's a tall task.
But what about Trevor Rogers, who doesn't have an arm problem? Knee?
Knee.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, he hasn't been of high quality since his rookie season 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you do want to get a little bang for your buck on that Stowers-Norby trade. Stowers was the National League Player of the Month for April, so you would want some return on that investment. But, you know, it's not like he was pitching all that great during his rehab assignments. Neither was Gibson. Eplin was. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eplin was dealing. And then he came back and dealt some more. What, 14 straight starts with 3 runs or less allowed? So, I mean, he's a quality major league pitcher. So they need another arm and then hope for the best. But what did we see from the offense over the weekend that makes us think that's going to turn around?
Well,
on a more positive fact.
Gunner.
Well, Gunner's gun showing it.
Yeah. And I think Holiday's, you know, swinging the
Cole
bat.
Cole with Holiday. Rutschman got the sun-aided triple.
Yeah.
But you'll take it in a box.
Hey, maybe
it gets
him going.
To the gap.
Yeah.
Sed broke a 1-for-35 with a couple of hits yesterday. He had been really scuffle city here.
Mountcastle hitting it to right field. That
one day and intentionally walked O'Neill to get to him. I'd like to see O'Neill start to pick up the pace. They did pay him handsomely with his 31 homers to come in and, for all intents and purposes, replace Anthony Santander's bat in the lineup, which he hasn't done yet. Westberg coming back is going to be used for them. And same with Urias. So we'll see. Because O'Hearn's been on point for most of this season.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still, you know, there's still 9 games under 500. They're still last place in the division. Let's not get carried away and start throwing parades here. Get to 500 or maybe win 2 or 3 series in a row. Dare I say win 3 games in a row? Because they haven't done that either. And by the way, the team coming in tomorrow, they've won 8 in a row, the Minnesota Twins.
Mm-hmm. Well, the nice thing about Westberg coming back, too, is you got stability in your infield then. You know, you got your third, you got your short, you got your second baseman, and then you got some continuity.
And you have a guy that, you know, can hit.
Oh, no
doubt. He's an all-star.
And he's a good fielder,
too. Yeah, I mean, he can play multiple positions. He brings a little right-handed pop to the equation, can use all fields. So are we optimistic about what happened over the weekend? Sure. When you win a series, you can't crap all over it. But is this the sign that the Orioles are going to turn it around in 25? I think we need to pump the brakes on that.
Yeah.
Let's keep it rolling here.
More to show, more to prove, but I think looking at just yesterday, very impressed with the offense. Because until Gunnar Henderson's kind of exclamation point homer there in the sixth, they were just finding a way by any means necessary. Sure, you're taking advantage of a lot of mistakes that the other team's making, but how many times this year have the Orioles been the mistake-prone team that's gifting runs away? The umpire yesterday?
Oof.
Whew. But both teams benefited and got, you know, screwed.
No
I
doubt.
Mean, that was evenly bad. We can at least say that. It wasn't targeted at one team. But they just manufactured runs, a squeeze play. Guys were taking off stealing bases, heads-up base running. I mean, it was just taking what was given to you, and to do it against a soft-tossing lefty, which I never would have thought that they have any success against a left-handed pitcher at this point. So maybe it was just a case of the stars aligning for one day only. That remains to be seen. But it's a great feeling on getaway day.
Yeah, and Tyler Anderson, saw, not Sandy Koufax, but he's effective. And he pitches pretty well for the most part. Yeah, Todd Tichenor. Had a rough Mother's Day, my friend.
Yeah.
You had a rough Mother's Day calling balls and strikes.
Oh.
But Orioles win 7-3. It's all that matters. They get out of Anaheim with a W. They're off today. Twins come to town tomorrow. Start of a 3-game set. And then the Nats come to town as well over the weekend. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in here. Schedules announced in the NFL on Wednesday. But there was a game that was revealed, late last night, early this morning. Dallas goes to Philly September 4th, Thursday night, to start the season. So we know now that the Sun, let's see, 5th, Friday, 6th, September 7th will be the full-on kickoff for the end. And there's a Friday game, too.
That's the Chargers-Chiefs in, was it Brazil?
Brazil.
Yeah.
So there you go. And that's where Philly opened last year against Green Bay in a fun game.
So I think you're right, Bob. Sunday night or Monday night will be the Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens will get a, what do you think, Buffalo? We've tried to do some off-the-air surmising. Bills on a Sunday or Monday night there? Or would you rather save that for later in the year if you're the NFL and make it more cold weathery?
The cold weather doesn't bother the Ravens.
Nah.
So it doesn't really matter. I think Sunday night, Monday night, or 4:30, you know, on Sunday.
Yeah, they're not playing at 1 o'clock on September 7th.
I'd be shocked.
Yep. It's 88-81-057 the Fed, Nolan McGraw on this Monday again. Hope you had a great Mother's Day. Ladies, we'll come back, take your phone calls. Orioles take 2 out of 3 from Anaheim. So they go 2-4 on the road trip. Now I got to start stacking series wins here and maybe put together a little bit of a winning streak. Hey, Minnesota was terrible. Rocco Baldelli was on the hot seat. Look what an 8-game winning streak does for your thing. Now you're in the mix in the American League Central Division. Jadeveon Clowney got cut last week by the Carolina Panthers. I saw some internet rumblings that maybe him coming back to Baltimore is not far-fetched after all. Probably not imminent.
Definitely not imminent. I would think training camp, Bob, would be the most likely. Because they want to get a chance to see, you know, at the OT, what does the job look like? You know, what is, how's Green doing? And, you know, Adisa Isaac, how are those guys?
Yeah, Ravens, we think we'll get 5 primetime games. That should be probably a foregone conclusion. Stanley Cup playoffs, Caps got their pants pulled down on Saturday. Yesterday, Cleveland, holy mackerel, the number one seed. The East got outscored 42-16 in the second quarter. Donovan Mitchell didn't even play in the second half with an ankle/calf, so who knows what his status will be for game 5. But the Cavs, the number one seed, they're up against it, down 3-1. OKC, Denver, low-scoring, grinded-out kind of game. But Aaron Wiggins, he contributed to the cause. We can get into all of that and more 2 games in the
NBA
tonight.
Bob, I flipped it over to the Cleveland thing, and I look. It was 80-39, and it's like second. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was. They went on a run of epic proportions, Indiana did. Cleveland got ambushed, never really responded. Now might be without their best player going into an all-important Game 5 for them. So anything you want to get into, let's do it. Orioles, they win a series. Let's celebrate it. They're not back yet. Got to get to 500. Then we'll start popping off a little bit. Bill Bender will be joining us, Sporting News. He's already putting together a list of quarterback prospects for next year's draft. Speaking of quarterbacks, real quick before we get to the phones, Derek Carr retired.
Yeah.
From New Orleans.
Shoulder, he had a bad shoulder. I mean, like, would have needed surgery, and it was degenerative. And so he just couldn't throw the ball.
Because the reports were that he was at the least going to miss the season.
Yeah.
And then he kept saying he was going to try to play and all of this. But he finally tapped out. So the New Orleans Saints right now in a quandary at the quarterback position. Not that he was all that great.
No.
With all due respect, Ricky Bobby style to Derek Carr, of course.
No, but they're gonna be struggling. And it's not like Atlanta's gonna trade Cousins to New Orleans. That ain't happening. So yeah, they may be in rebuild mode.
Maybe that Louisville kid will start from day one.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think we've been on the Desmond Ritter trail a couple times before.
Yes.
Or Spencer Rattler, excuse me. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Vinny. How y'all doing this morning?
Saw those videos in Nashville.
Oh, man, we had a time, man. Great time down in Nashville. You know, nobody got arrested, though, so that's a good thing.
And, that's always
I thought
good.
Dustin was getting married.
Oh, yeah, he's got married, man, and he got some child support probably on the way, too, man. That's all I'm going to say about that, you know?
Oh, good for him.
That's right.
Hey,
man.
Yeah. Do some DNA testing coming up later on.
Hey, Hey, but listen, man, serious win for the Olds this weekend, you know. I'm glad Aslam is back, man. Pitched. I was a little nervous about him. I thought he might have been rusty a little bit, you know, so I was a little nervous about that. And also, Morton came in, and, you know, this was his first time coming in and not ever giving up a run, whether it's relief or starting.
Well, this year, and that's good. And we were just talking about it with Sean before the break. Let's not put him into the rotation just yet. Yeah. He's not Jim Palmer, Mike Mussina, but, you know, he puts together two or three of those, then maybe he'll get another opportunity to show what he could do out of the rotation. Because let's not forget, they did give him $50 million.
That's what's keeping him there.
So they want to make sure they get their bang for the buck. And watching Kyle Gibson pitch is kind of a rough gig because he's rehabbing at the major league level, and we're seeing that that's not really working out well for them.
Hey, we was down in, we was in Nashville. Norfolk was playing, so we went out and checked out Rogers' pitch on Saturday. He looked kind of solid. He had four innings, one earned run, and four strikeouts. So maybe they can call him up, man. I'll be more comfortable probably with Rogers, you know, starting than Morton, though, at this point, man. Maybe we can keep Morton in the bullpen.
Well, we got Rogers just got he got activated from his rehab, and they optioned him back to the minors. So he'll get a couple of stints there. He'll be pitching for the Orioles, I'm guessing, by June, Trevor Rogers, in some capacity.
They return on that investment with that. Norby and Style was playing lights out down there, man, you know. So, you know, got to get something going, man. But I'm going to let y'all go ahead, man. You
All
know,
right,
and,
let's get to 500, Rashawn, before we start, you know, celebrating things.
Yeah, for sure. We're only 7.5 back now. So, you're inching up.
It's a long season. All right, Rashawn in Baltimore, let's get back to the phones. Stay in the Charm City with Ryan. Ryan, you're on the Fed. Vinny Haney and Nolan McGraw. What's up?
Hey,
how you doing, man?
So I'm just glad that the Orioles were able to get a series win during my personal boycott of them. I said after that twin series, just the bad situational hitting, it was very emotionally and physically frustrating for me to watch. I said I'm going to boycott until they win a series, and luckily I didn't have to wait too long.
You're back on the bandwagon. Now what happens if Minnesota comes in and spanks them again?
Well, then we'll reassess the situation. But I mean, I was getting so... I watch every game, and I just was getting so verbally frustrated that my girlfriend was like, you need a break for a couple days. I said, you're right. So I'll take a few. And it was easy because they were on the West Coast. So I was able to, you know, go to bed at a reasonable hour and kind of wake up and see what the damage was. But listen, the thing that's got to get done is, you know, I was looking at our lineup, and we've only got, including Emmanuel Rivera, who's limited at bats, we have three guys hitting over 250. We don't need guys to be great and hit over 300 or 325 or whatever, but if we get, you know, even seven of our guys hit over 250, that gives us a good chance. We need average players.
Well, you need your proven guys to play to pass performance. Is what you need, and most of these players are below that. I mean, Cedric Mullins was 1-for-35 until yesterday. After a great March, April, he's been brutal in May. Gunner's starting to come around because, you know, I guess that injury lingered for a bit. Still not sold on Adley, whatever we're expecting from him, maybe a repeat of what he was in the first half of last year. But Tyler O'Neill, I mean, I'm not satisfied with him. Not satisfied with the production from O'Neill. And Rivera, hey, limited at bats, but, I mean, he's Mike Schmidt compared to what Kobe Mayo was bringing to the plate times at night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a great point, especially with guys like Adley and O'Neill. Like, they need to do better than 250 from what we have hyped them up to be.
No doubt. O'Neill's a 30-homer guy, supposed to be hitting lefties.
How about just runners in scoring position? If they improve that, that'll improve it a lot.
Right. Well, even on the pitching side, you know, if you know, I look at it from a college standpoint because I coach college ball, and we go through and we see that the top 25 teams, they score on average about 7 runs. Well, if we want to stay in these games from a pitching standpoint, that means we need to give up less than 7 runs. Now, obviously, it's different at the major league level because sure. hitting's better, pitching's better. But, you know, if our starting pitchers give up 3 runs, we should have a chance to win a ball game.
Well, Ryan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're back on the bandwagon. Jim Hunter has said magic number for the Orioles is 5 a game offensively. Right now, their team ERA is over 5. But if they can start to score on average 5 runs a game, they're going to be much more competitive. I mean, why is Felix Bautista gave up a homer yesterday, but no harm, no foul? Why are his save opportunities limited? Because there are no close games. Yep. I mean, they're either winning by a lot or they're getting killed. So we'll see what this Anaheim series does for them. Twins come to town red hot. They won 8 in a row. We'll come back. Anything you want to talk about, get in at 410-583-1057. NFL schedule release is Wednesday. One game's already been revealed. We think the Ravens get 5 at least primetime games to start. Flex is always a reality. Maybe a team the Ravens are scheduled to play on primetime will suck, and they don't want that to happen. But if I'm making a prediction, and Nolan knows I'm usually wrong, I'm saying they open at Buffalo week 1 either Sunday or Monday night. Last week, as the Orioles are off, last Monday we started handing out some grades, and it was Charlie Morton got an F. We gave old man Bun a C minus at the time. He's done well on his last couple of tests since then. But let's get to the offense. And we'll start with Adley Rutschman. And we don't want to pick on old Adley, the number one. He was 1-1 2019. Finished second in the Rookie of the Year voting. His first year. Made the All-Star team the next two. Started last year's All-Star game. And we broke out his stats from July till the end of the regular season in 24. Now we look at him here in 2025. He's hitting 203, 4 homers, 11 ribbies. Remember, 2 of his 4 homers were on opening day. His OPS is 636. The on-base percentage is the one that always stands out to me because this guy got on base. He was a gap hitter. He's never going to hit 40 home runs, Mike Piazza style or Johnny Bench, but he'll get his share. On-base percentage coming in at 298. His slugging percentage is 338, which would be a bad on-base percentage for him. To put it in perspective, 2022, on-base percentage 362 out of OPS over 8. 2023, his first All-Star team, 374. Slugging percentage over 8. Last year was great in the first half, and then flatlined second half. No injury, as he has said multiple times. All right, we're assuming he's healthy here in 2025. He has 9 extra base hits for the season. And one of those was yesterday's sun-aided triple, yeah. But in the box score, it's a shot in the gap. Mm-hmm. So, Vinny, we'll start with you, then Nolan. Adley Rutschman, his grade through the first, you know, 7-8 weeks of the season would be what? Certainly based on expectations and maybe just based on performance alone.
I'm going to give him a D, Bob. The thing that shocks me the most is when I look at his 18 walks and 24 strikeouts. I mean, that was the thing, like, when he came up was he had such a good eye and he walked so much, you know, and he didn't strike out a lot. Now he's striking out more and he's walking. You know, and his defense is just so. So I'll give him a D for right now.
Right. I'm going to echo that grade, thinking that the exact same thing. I mean, even with a 2-hit day yesterday, he's batting 147 this month. So that just goes to show you how low it was, even with an outstanding performance yesterday. And then we talk about it with Adley's game all the time, but defensively, all right, if you're not having your best streak at the plate, you know, you're not contributing there. What are you bringing behind the dish? I mean, he's capable back there. You know, it's not like it's a wild pitch disaster
yeah,
every time
the
there's
ball
one
in front of him. Yeah,
but throwing out runners, we know the numbers. It's been a struggle, a steady decline since his rookie year. So it's not like he's otherworldly, and I don't think he'll ever win a Gold Glove back there. It'll never come close. So he's not making up for his poor performance at the plate behind the dish. So I have to go. It's not failing, but it's close. It's a D.
Yeah, I'm going D too. And it's a disappointing D because he's trending in the opposite direction where we should be talking about him as the unquestioned best catcher in the American League at this stage of his career. And right now, he might not even be the best catcher in his own division because Austin Wells is raking in New York. So Adley Rutschman is their hope for the future. Sure. I mean, his track record speaks Golden Spikes, two-time All-Star, second Rookie of the Year. I mean, this guy's been a premier dude every level he's ever played, including the major league level, but we're seeing a large sample size of failure.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to grade him a year ago today, probably an A.
Yeah, strong B plus.
Yeah.
Best catcher in the American League level stuff. All right, speaking of number one overall draft picks, a year ago, this is a guy that was really scuffling, got sent back to the minors. Jackson Holliday. 264 batting average, 336 OPS, on base percentage rather, 409 slugging, his OPS about 7.5, 4 homers, a couple doubles and a triple. So Jackson, and he seems to be getting acclimated defensively to second base because he's a shortstop by trade. Gunnar Henderson's your shortstop for now and probably for many years to come. But Jackson Holliday, how are we grading him? As the Orioles have this off day with the Twins looming 39 games into the season.
I'm going to give him a C+, just because I see the improvement. I just wish the strikeouts would go down a little bit. You know, I mean, he's got 30 of them. But I like the way he's projecting. I like he's hitting the ball, hitting it to left field. You know, he's getting on base a lot. Defense is much better. I'll give him C+, and you know, I'm hoping that C+ goes to B, you know, keeps getting better.
I'm kind of teetering on B- right now, so I'll go there just for the sake of having some difference in opinion here. I'll go B- because he is trending up. And if we're doing the comparison game to last year, well, it's night and day. It's not even close. I mean, this time last year, he's coming up to the plate and say, is he even going to get barrel on the ball? Even if it's foul, just make some sort of contact. And this year, when he steps up to the plate, I mean, we're calling for him to be higher in the batting order. And they did move him up over the weekend, but Adley's still up there, so I don't know what's going on. But I thought it would be natural to switch those two guys, maybe have Holliday start batting second more, but more at-bats for him in general is fine. So this is definitely a good sign for him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nolan's B-. He's hitting .310 here in the month of May. Seems real comfortable at the plate. Looks like he belongs, and he's going to be an asset to the team. And he should stay higher in the lineup, at least while he's hot. I mean, others have felt the gap. I mean, Adley, I think, has got to start getting a little bottom of the order sort of stuff. I mean, Mullins had to deal with it, and Ted's having a rough go of it. They had a couple of knocks yesterday. But, I mean, Jackson Holliday starting to look like a guy that was worthy of all the praise that he got coming out of the high school ranks as the number one overall pick. And let's not forget, everyone, he's still only 21 years old. He doesn't turn 22 until December. So I'm cool with him. Adley, not so much. Not that I want him gone from the team or he's a stiff and where's Basayo and let's trade Adley to the highest bidder. No. I'm not there yet, but you know, it's time to start picking up the performance.
One question about Adley is before, like last year when it was, thought it was injury.
Well, after he got, took a foul ball off the hand
right
late June. And right around that time, he started to struggle swinging the bat.
You figure he would have got it. Then what is it now?
That's what we're saying. Yeah. It's like you can't, he had missed a couple starts because of his bad back last year. Haven't had any of that here. Now, he was robbed of a homer yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, he did hit the ball deep into the wall. And then the kid, who was it? Let me just make sure I got the right guy here. Paris. Paris got over the wall and saved the home run. But, you know, hit the ball hard a couple of times and two knocks. One was the, as we said, sun-aided triple, but it was a ribby. and a big one at that time, because it looked like, you know, the Orioles were going to get a double to lead off the game and not score.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's been a major problem. They were 3-for-12 with runners in scoring position yesterday. But handing out a couple more grades. You want to grade some people on this Orioles team. Still in last place. Still 9 games under .500. Off today before the red-hot Minnesota Twins come to town. Talk Ravens and Orioles with Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner, 11 o'clock. Whip around 11:15. Busy weekend in the world of sports. And then Zach Kreiser. Talk Major League Baseball. Another manager. Felt the heat yesterday. Mm-hmm. And after Saturday, you kind of, in a day after the GM had his back, he stabbed him in it. Angels weren't all that great fundamentally. The Orioles have had their problems there, so you take advantage of their mistakes. That's what Zach Eplin said, and that's what the Orioles did. Now they come home feeling a little bit better about themselves than they were after the Minnesota debacle. Now the Twins come in. Birds maybe could exact some revenge over the next 3 days. Then the Nats come to town, and Washington's in the struggle bus as we sit here on this Monday. NFL news late last week. Jadeveon Clowney was released by the Carolina Panthers. And if you just, you know, read the interweb, a lot of linkage back to Baltimore, perhaps Kansas City, maybe Detroit among teams. Take a bring in a pass rusher who has been of the, not premier, but good. Never been a premier pass rate. He's never had double-digit sacks.
Well, the best year he ever had, I'm pretty sure, was the Ravens, sack-wise.
He had 9.5 in 17 with Houston. Then he had 9, and then 9.5 with the Ravens 2 years ago, where he hit bonuses.
Yeah.
With that
and, Bob, I thought that he was one of their better defensive players. He was getting pressure on the quarter. How many times did he just fall off? He could have had about 12, 13 sacks.
No doubt.
Thought he was extremely productive, and you know, it was kind of shocking that he got that sack production, because thought coming in, you know, well, he'll help. We know he can help against the run, and that's the thing that he can do. He can set the edge. So we'll see. I said before, I know, you know, we know how the Ravens like to do business is they want to give their young guys an opportunity to see what they can do and then reevaluate after mini camp, or maybe after a week or so of training camp. The only thing is, you know, if you needed a guy like Clowney, you would like to get him in, you know, a training camp or whatever, so he's got some time, get in shape, get in football shape, and that, so he can help right away if they need him.
Yeah, 5.5 sacks last year, 14 games for the Carolina Panthers, where he went home, basically.
That's, yep.
And they pretty much told him, you know, during rookie mini camp, and where your services are no longer welcome. But I would think he'd be motivated to come back to Baltimore, not just because he enjoyed his time one season here, but he sees the writing of his career. He's a little up there in the age department, born in 93. So he's 32. Damn.
It just seems like he was just making that play against Michigan, you know.
Anyway, but you have a chance to win.
Right.
And, you know,
and he knows them. He knows the people here.
Yeah, so come on in. Get acclimated or reacclimated. I mean, you know, Zach Orr won the defensive coordinator, but he was the linebacker coach when he was here 2 years ago. So I don't see any downside to bringing Jadeveon Clowney back at all. Nolan, what do you think about a possible reunion with the former number one pick in the draft?
I'm all about it. And even if the Ravens are at full strength health-wise, and even if someone like David Ojabo starts to show signs that he's going to take that next step, it doesn't hurt you to bring in that extra insurance. So let's be honest, you know, Dafe Owe seems to be on the upward swing with his career, but it's still just one great year, or one good year at that. And Kyle Van Noy, well, there's no way I thought that he was going to do what he did last year after he did what he did the year prior. So I'm not going to count him out. But again, Father Time's undefeated. So what can you do, kind of like with the Orioles with the pitching, what can you do to give yourself that extra insurance that if the stuff does hit the fan midseason, a guy goes down with an injury, you're protected. You have a trusted guy that can go in there and get you numbers.
The only thing I would say to that, let's just say, like you said, Ojabo looks good. Isaac looks good. Mike Green. You got Van Noy. You got Owe. You know, can you afford to keep six pass rusher, you know, six outside backer type guys. You know, you only have so many numbers. That's the problem, because you got to keep five D linemen. So then you've got 11 defensive linemen, you know, pass rush guys. And five linebackers, that's 16. And then you usually keep 11 DBs, you know, 28. Then you're going light on offense. The only thing is the numbers game.
Right. Yeah.
But you mentioned Van Noy, 12 and a half sacks. Nobody saw that coming.
No.
I didn't think he was going to duplicate the nine or whatever it was 2 years ago when Clowney. He and Clowney just kind of came in
and saved that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were the number one pass rush team sack-wise in the National Football League. Van Noy and Owe combined for 22 and a half sacks. I don't see that happening again. I'm not saying Clowney's the end-all, be-all to replace it. I would think that maybe Matabike up his total from 6.5 after having a monster year 2 years ago himself.
We thought, you know, a year ago at this time, we figured Matabike would be probably down to 8, you know, 8+.
Right.
And he went down to 6.5. So, yeah, he took a little step backwards. What we need is Travis Jones to get to 6, you know, and then Mike Green's got to have a 6 or 7 type.
Travis Jones had 1 sack.
Yeah, he's got a. And he had that ankle for a lot of the time, remember? You know, he was kind of had a hard time, you know, pushing off and stuff. And it's hard to rush a passer when your ankle's messed up.
But I think to the point, we're all potential reunion with the Davey Clowney. We're thumbs up on this.
Yeah, right. I would.
Now, I would think he'd have a lot of other suitors, though. And I'm assuming he's done with the feel good. All right, I'm going home. That's all well and good until you start losing.
Oh, he's
every
ring
week.
Chasing now, and maybe get a little dough if he can get it.
And every team's looking for pass rush depth, so it's one of those tricky things where you're not going to sign him today. He doesn't want to sign today because he doesn't want to go through training camp. But how long can you afford to wait is kind of the question.
It's 88-Haney-1057. The Fan. We'll talk about that very subject and talk about the Orioles with Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner. The Orioles are off today after taking 2 out of 3 from the Angels. They won a Sunday game. They beat a lefty. They had suicide squeezes. They had the opposite field hits. Ryan Mountcastle took it personally because they walked O'Neill to get to him, and he made the Angels pay. So after getting swept by Minnesota to take 2 out of 3, they should be commended for that. But still a lot of work to be done for the Orioles if they want to get back into playoff talk. Let's get to 500 before we even think about that sort of thing. Whip around 11:15, Stanley Cup, NBA playoffs hot and heavy. Number one seed Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA, they're in big trouble.